work.
You can take that a four-letter word, throw it out the window. I had a cute dog over here for her, his little medical examination and all that stuff they do to him today, and now I'm headed over to rehab.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a fun day, Bubba. Well, listen, they've revised the forecast. It's supposed to rain Friday and be beautiful on Saturday.
It's like 30% chance, what I saw for the whole day Saturday. So, I think we'll have a pretty good time. It just depends on what time you want to start.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know what the consensus is would be with everybody else, but I'd kind of like to get started by about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. That gives a real bad cold a chance to, kind of warm up just a little bit. And really, this whole thing depends on how much I'm going to get done with the antenna. So, sheesh, I got a lot to do between now and then.
9:30 or 10 o'clock. Sorry, I'm about in. KM4UBG.
W4NGU.
Kevin and Phil finally woke up.
Tune-up manual for that antenna online available.
My instructions, I think, Jimmy, you're still in there. Did you see any instructions for tuning on that antenna?
Phil, it's online. You can get it. I think I got printed off somewhere to help. He's supposed to assemble it and put it together according to the numbers. It was on his instructions. And then he's supposed to stand it up at whatever height he's going to put it at. I thought we could tune it around 10 foot or so off a big 10 foot ladder or something, but the instructions said go ahead and put it on up there at his regular height and see what it does.
Send us a copy when I get to the office.
Instructions? I'm talking about move this segment out or move that segment in for adjustment in this direction or that. There's none of that.
That'll help us with that. Go ahead and make one, Kevin.
Well, as long as the sun's up by that time Saturday morning, that'd be the main thing. I might ride over that way, Steve. Holler at you. But if you fixing to be rolling southbound this morning, you got a little bit of a congestion around 14 and Bellum Road down there.
Is it on the north or the southbound?
Southbound, that should be the direction you're going this morning, eh?
Yeah, I'm trying to get back into Mullen to finish that job out. I tell you what, it looks to me like I'm going to be headed right straight down 14 until I get to Woodruff Road. Now, I'd cut over through there that way. That at least sort of kind of maybe generally moves a little bit. When you saw 14, that congestion right there at 14, was it moving just barely or was it just stopped?
That's 14. It's right there. It's in between 14 and Bellum Road. It looks like whatever it is going on around Fox, Carolina right there. Traffic was a little scattered out going southbound before you got to Fox 21. And when you got to Fox 21, it looked like it was a parking lot. I mean, it was moving, but it wasn't moving fast. But when you get up around 14 right there, it was moving along pretty good there. So, if you're going to come straight down 14, you should be good.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I just go right straight down that way and then cut around the back. All right. Appreciate that, Kevin. Saturday morning, what do y'all think? 10 a.m.?
Just wear your long handles and your zoot suit.
Well, the high is supposed to be 55 on Saturday.
A lot of clothes, multi-layered. As long as the wind ain't blowing too bad.
Well, 10 a.m. Yeah,
I'm at
the latest. That'll be fine.
Want to give everybody that sleeps late on a Saturday a chance to sleep in a little bit. Hey, we could start earlier if y'all want to.
Hey, 10 will be fine. Sounds good.
You going to come right by?
We're right up that way, Saturday. I ain't behind one of y'all on 290 here, am I? I'm behind a gray forerunner with a, look like a 2-meter antenna on top of it.
It's a big, big maroon colored 2500 diesel.
Hudson Road, right here at Mitchell Road, in a maroon colored truck. Well, Hudson
here got a North Carolina tag on it, so I didn't know if it was one of our guys or somebody from one of the ham clubs up there.
You on 26 or 11?
11.
Good. Well, hey, did y'all check into the net last night?
I went net last night on the 165 repeater. And they was talking about that there wasn't going to be no more daylight savings time in South Carolina. Something to do with the board of legislators or whatever changed that.
To change it?
That's what he said last night. He said they officially changed it. One of the guys announced it last night on the Greenwood repeater. And, yeah, I checked in the 610 repeater with Wendy last night. And, but, yeah, he announced it. He said there wasn't going to be no more daylight savings time. So I don't know if that means it's going to stay where it's at now or if it's going to move back like it usually is. But he said something about the clocks and the watches and stuff like that would still change time, but the time's not going to change.
Do we still spring up?
Wait for somebody to pull it up and check it out on the news app or whatever. You know, see if they announced it or whatever. I don't know how that's going to work.
Spring up and then stay.
Well, me just fine. I like it like that.
The sunlight just burns up my garden.
You could apply that type of logic, Phil.
Have fun today. I got to sign off. Destinated, W4NGU.
You, Phil, trying to be a productive guy today. Have a good day, bud. We'll talk to you later. 73's KN4VWA. All right, you guys. So it's 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Okay, Phil. You take care. Teach somebody something. That's all that counts. So they get a little bit advanced during the day. This is N4MMW Mobile. Be clear with you. And go ahead, Steve.
Traffic light up here, and I just tried to Google that thing. And I don't see where... Oh, yeah, I do, too. They're going to do daylight saving time, be the year-round standard of the entire state. And that was starting in July. How about that? We're going to go to daylight savings time and then stay there.
The daylight savings time, is that the hour ahead?
Well, that's that old saying about the way they do that stuff, spring up, fall back. So they're going to spring up this spring and stay there.
Have an extra hour of daylight every day. That'd be good.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Watching, you know, as a kid coming up, you and I didn't have any problem going back and forth to school or work back in all those days. So it messes with me when I lose an hour.
I tell you what, you know, having that extra hour at the end of the day in the wintertime is kind of nice.
Dark.
That gives you an extra hour at the end of the day.
And it'll be getting dark at 4 o'clock.
If we observe daylight savings time all year round, that means we're going to spin the clock up 1 hour, which means that it would be 9:13 right now. So if it was 5 o'clock or 5:30 when it's been getting dark in the wintertime, you sprang up, that's 6:30 or 6:30. So you get a little extra hour of daylight that way.
A good one out there this morning. And I'm gonna step out right quick. I gotta get some fuel here, and I'll be back in the truck in about 5 or 10. KN4 UBG. I'll be clear for a moment.
UBG. Looking forward to Saturday morning there. I hope I'll have everything all staged and ready to go. And Jimmy, you still there?
I'm pulling in the parking lot at a hospital over here, so make it short.
I will do just that. You still want to try to come up here on Thursday? I still feel like I need to raise that tower up and down once before Saturday to make sure it's going to function. I don't want to get everybody up here and me have some sort of technical difficulty. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. You just pick a time, and I'll check the schedule.
If I remember right, you got something going at 3 o'clock, so that means you need to leave at about 2. So if we get out there during the day on Thursday sometime, get up here about 10 or 11, that would give me enough time to just raise and lower that tower a couple of good times like that.
Sounds like a plan to me. We'll put that on the calendar and see what we can do.
In the words of Matthew McConaughey in that movie Dazed and Confused, all right, all right, all right.
You be careful today and don't get electrocuted or high voltage. Take care. N4MMW Mobile, be clear after yours.
Well, today I'm not working but with about 125,000 volts today, so that's just enough to cure the... To curl the fuzz on the top of my head. All right, listen, don't let them bend you in too much of a pretzel today, bud. 73's N4MMW. I got it right. You have a good one. KN4BWA, I'm clear.
We're DJW Mobile.
DJW. KN4BWA. Good morning, sunshine.
Steve, sounds I would ask how you're doing, but I can tell by the sound of your voice. I'm headed to the DMV this morning.
I'm sorry. Great day. No, it shouldn't be too bad. You're going to be getting in there early, and you're going to be at the front of the line, and they're all, those folks are all going to be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and pumped up with coffee, and they're going to get you through there just lickety-split. I am optimistic today, aren't I?
So, not too long ago, and it was like you said, there was a line. I was there about the same time I'm going to get there this time, and there was a line all the way out the door and all the way down. Well, the door hadn't opened yet. I got there before they opened. They opened at 8:30, which is 12 minutes from now. But that's about the time I got there last time, and they were lined up all the way down the sidewalk that they have. But when the doors did open, they've got so many counters that it drained most of that line. I didn't have to wait long at all, and they were really quick. So it has changed. It had a bad reputation for a long time, but they're getting better.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that, man. Anytime a government agency is actually being up to expectations, shall we say, That's a great thing. Well, listen, I've been talking to Jimmy, N4MMW. His is almost a tongue tangler. Talking to Jimmy and W4NGU, Phil, and I believe I'm going to try to have a little antenna party on Saturday morning about 10 o'clock, and you'd be more than welcome to pop in there and keep us straight.
To do that, I've got a meeting with the repeater group sometime. If we can get it done this week, then we won't have to have it on Saturday. If we can't get it done this week, it might be on the weekend, so I'll have to play it by ear.
Hey, listen, all the help I can get is much appreciated. Yeah, I'm going to do a test run on the tower just to make sure it is what I have planned on Thursday. I'm going to raise and lower it a couple of times just for practice. And if I can do that, then I should be all set and ready to go for Saturday morning. I know what I was going to ask you the other day. You know, Dane Bramaged here. When you run your feed line up a tower, do you have a tower?
Tower. But I do work with the guys at the tower at the repeater site.
Okay, well, my tower is nothing even sort of kind of maybe similar to that. I'm just minuscule compared to that thing. The legs on my tower, I've got three legs. It's self-supporting, and they're probably 3 to 4 inches formed steel, and you're probably familiar with it. How do you run your feed line up? Do you tend to run it on the inside of the legs or on the outside? And if you do run it outside, how do you attach it? Do you just use heavy air conditioning type exterior grade tie wraps, or what do you do?
So they use Killam strips. I don't do anything like that. Mine is pulled up between two trees, and the antenna supports the weight of the coax, and there's no tower. But they use Killam strips. I don't know if you're aware of what those are, but it looks like Chinese handcuffs with a handle, and then that handle gets tied off to the tower, and they do it on the inside of the tower. I don't know if that'd be overkill for what you're doing or not. But just some way to protect it so that it doesn't move around, and so that should ice form up there at the top of the tower and it start falling down, it doesn't damage it when the ice does fall down.
KN4BWA. Okay, yeah, I know the devices that you're talking about. Yeah, that does seem like it'd be a little bit of overkill. And one of the things I don't want to do is I don't want to drill into the legs of the tower. I'm sure it'd be just fine, but somehow or another in my head, you know, a hole in the leg would be reducing its structural strength.
And on a tower like that, you need to pay close attention to that. They build clamps that go around those structures. They're supporting a lot of weight for a long time in high winds. I don't think you have to worry about that. I don't know. You might Google it and see what other ham radio operators do and look at pictures of them. I think what they do up there at the repeater site, like you said, probably overkill. But if you're only going up 50 feet, I think heavy-duty tie wraps to the using the holes that are already in the tower, or just going all the way around the tower leg would be fine for you.
So especially if I put them every couple of feet or every 3 feet, something like that. All right, good enough. Yeah, I'm just fishing for ideas and concepts.
Okay, I'm at the DMV, and the line is getting longer every second that passes, so I'm signing out. Talk to you later. W4DJW.
W4DJW, have a good day, David, and we'll talk to you later. KN4VWA, clear with you. Contact, it went by so quick I didn't catch your call sign. Jump back in there.
KN4, you busy?
We had a guy chip in, and I did not catch his call sign. Jump in there, call sign.
Cell, number 4 X-ray Lima, Kevin down here in Greenwood. I can tell you what I did for the tower, and based on some of the internet research I did, if you're interested.
Yeah, man, go for it. That's why I was asking Dave about his.
I put up a 35-foot tower, and when I was on the internet, there's a thing called the Guide Tower Topic Summary by a guy, November 1 Lima Oscar, N1LO. And I use him primarily for the recommendations. and several people had said using tie wraps puts a very focused stress on the coax, and by squeezing the coax it can cause the coax to fail over time. And what this guy and several other people suggested is to put a wrap of coax around the tower leg, run your coax alongside it, put a couple turns of the tape around the tower leg, run your coax along it on the inside, and then wrap a couple turns with the Scotch 38 on the outside. Make sure you cut the tape so that you don't stress it when you tear it off. Use a scissors to cut it, and that way it'll stay attached longer. And then I put a tie wrap lightly on the outside of that tape. That way it spreads the attachment point stress over the coax a much further distance and prevents the coax from failing prematurely. Let me let it drop. He recommended inside, and there's another guy who's a big 160 operator over in Georgia, WAJI. He runs all of his coax out to his big systems, actually on the, he takes some Rhone 25 and lays it out elevated and runs the coax on the inside of it. And he and other several people say it acts kind of like a Faraday cage to help break up any lightning strike energy that gets to it. So they recommend laying it on the inside too, N4XL.
Interesting. That's real interesting. What I'm running for feed line, I can't remember the designation on it, but anyhow, it's that really, really thick, heavy jacket. It's like the whole feed line is like almost like 3/4 of an inch around or in radius. So I don't think there's much chance of, you know, sagging and kinking with this stuff, especially at just a 50-foot. If I was going to run anything higher than that, I'd probably go ahead and try to follow some of what you're talking about. Also, I'm not going to run that all the way up the tower. Drop out a second. Bring it down at about 30 feet or 35 feet, and then I'm going to use a stainless steel rope to string it like a telephone line across to my shed, and then the shed is going to take it from the eaves down into the building. So I'm going to do like a suspension so that it's not following the tower all the way, and then I'm going to just do the twine rope wrap to support it by the steel cable.
The only thing I'll suggest to you is it's not the heaviness of the outside of the cable that's the issue with the stress on the cable. It's the fact that you're squeezing the cable by putting it an attachment on it in a local area. And as you run power through it, especially if you're running an amplifier, I don't know if you tend to do that or not, but you heat up the dielectric, and that's what causes the problems with the attachment stress.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, I may try something like that. Yeah, like I said, I'm talking to everybody. I don't know if you heard me or not, talking to David and then a couple other people this morning. Hey, Kevin, are you back in there now? That's K-N-4, UBG.
K-N-4, UBG, yeah, I'm good. I was thinking about that too, Steve. That you got them legs where that leg kind of looks like a C. If you run that thing inside them legs, you know, I don't think that you'd be smashing it that bad. If you run it on the inside of the tower and come out the tower, you know, to your building, I don't think you'd be smashing that cable that bad. Because, I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have a round surface, you know what I'm saying? You'll have the C structure of that tower, you know, your cable will be tucked up inside there on the inside. That way it's not hanging out, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think, you know, you said 3/4 inch cable. That's probably at least an inch, you know, up in that pocket. So I don't think it'd be mashing it that bad.
That's a consideration also. But, you know, you still got the weight of the cable that goes from 10 feet up, and I'm going to have another 35 feet up the tower. So it's the weight of the cable as it comes down, too. Yeah, I got to figure out some way to strain relief that thing up there at the top. Did you hear what Dave was talking about on what they do up at the 400-foot tower up at Caesar's Head?
No attention to that, but you can get these things that slips over your cable. It looks like a wire mesh. You open it up, it slips over the cable, and you can, it's got like a hook that hooks onto the telephone pole or whatever. You can take those and they come in like a 8, 10, or 12-inch length, and that thing, slides over the pipe, it'll slide over a pipe or it'll slide over the cable, either one, and then when you hook it, when you pull down on it, it grabs onto the actual cable itself. That's what I have at the house, and I've got, I probably got a 100-foot run of coax stretched out from my boat shed to the tree right beside the house, the tree that I'm fixing to cut. And that's how I got my coax stretched up across my backyard. It's never hurt my coax, because you got that, a foot long grab onto the coax.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Kevin. That's what David was talking about up at the tower up there. It's kind of like Chinese handcuffs.
You should be able to get them things at any electrical house, like GE or anywhere like that, like Holder's Electronics right there on 291. You should be able to get them things over there. I got two of them at the house. That's what I use.
Jump back in there for a second. Go ahead.
I just used two of those wire things. I've got them holding up the cable on the inside of the tower, and then I attach the cable to the inside of the tower legs with the tape method that I described to you two. So that's what I do. And there are plenty of other people who do similar. And enough of the people that I respect have talked about that deforming the coax thing causing problems over time, that I like to go with it, even though it sounds like overkill. Well, then I'll let you go, and y'all have a good day. KN4, I think it's VNA, and 4XL.
VWA. Clear, bud. Have a good afternoon, or a good day altogether. All right, Kevin, so are you planning anything towards ice?
Man, I've had that coax up for years. I mean, I used to have, when I was in my old house, I had 150 feet of coax. It came down my tower. Tower was about 85, 90 feet. It came down my tower to about halfway to the tower. It hooked in one of those pieces that I'm talking about. And I stretched it from there to the house and hooked it on the corner of the house with one of them ice wood screws. And man, I've had ice, I've had snow, I've had storms, wind blowing, whipping and whooping and everything else, and I ain't never had a piece of coax break.
That's probably what I'm gonna wind up doing. I wonder if Harley's over in Spartanburg is gonna have those. They're more electronics than electrical. Yeah, I may have to ride down to Holder. All right, cool beans. Have you found anybody open today or yesterday to work on?
Three or four places that was open yesterday we ended up going to. I ended up at six different places yesterday. I put almost 200 miles on this truck yesterday. going a little bit everywhere. But, yeah, if you go to Holder's Electronics, man, go over and tell them you need one of them. I forgot what they call that little thing, but if you tell him it's for, like, pulling wire or hose or something like that, three something with it, he'll know exactly what you're talking about, because that's where we used to get ours at. And I tell him you need the longest one that you can get, you know, which is 10 or 12 inches. And we used to have modern work trucks, man. That's what we used to pull the gum hoses and stuff through the bottom of the door with, which was like a blow hose. We'd take those things and run it through there, and we'd take the fish tape and hook onto the end of it and pull the hoses through the bottom of the bottom bars on the doors. That way, you know, you could put the blow hose in there for the trip switch. That way, if the door ever set down on something, you know, it goes back up. That's what we used to use them for. And, which they use them to pull wire and stuff through pipes and stuff with, too. So, you'll know exactly what you're talking about when you go over and ask him.
Wire mesh strain relief.
I think that's it. And, you'll probably need three of these things.
Hey, tell that guy to take it out of reverse.
Well, I'm back up, Beeper. I'm backing up in a hole here.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I'm just about to destinate two, so I got about a quarter mile, so I'm just going to go ahead and say, hey, bud, don't get caught today. Have fun. 73s, K and 4, VWA.
VWA, K and 4, UBG. Go buy Holders while you're that close today, man, see what they got. And I'll say 73s to you, and I'll come back at me later on.
KM4UBG,
I'll be clear.
4DJW Mobile.
Have gotten in and out of there that fast. KM4VWA.
I can tell you, there was a steady stream of people coming in the parking lot. So when I got in line before they opened the doors, I was halfway to the door already by getting in line so quick. And then when they first go in, they go, each one goes to a teller, or for lack of a better word, a customer service person. And then what was left of the line, there was only about five people in front of me. So made it through in and out in 10 minutes.
I'll take a note from the page of Dave, W4DJW, and that's the way I'll try to do that in the future. Good lands, I have spent an hour and a half, 2 hours in line over there with that place, man. I tell you, it's crazy.
I haven't figured out what time is best to get there to be at the front of the door. Those guys could have been waiting there for 30 minutes, and I only had to wait for five, so I'd rather do it that way than sit out there in the cold for 30 minutes. I don't know what time they get there, but I usually get there 5 or 10 minutes early, and you don't have to wait too long. So did you get an answer on how you're going to clamp your coax going up the cable, the tower?
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a Holder Electric and get the proper size steel mesh strain reliefs like you guys use for that particular size of coax. And I'm going to use two of them over the 35 feet and suspend them. And that'll be vertically to the inside leg of my tower. And now, you know, in my tower, I've got my little shed. I'm going to run a stainless steel aircraft cable from the tower over to the shed at about 10 feet off the ground. And then I'm going to use looping rope to suspend the cables over to the shed at about 10 feet off the ground, and that's only about 15, 20 feet, and then that will go into the shed. So I'll use strain relief there, and that should pretty much take care of me.
Right. Do you have a strategy for grounding? How are you going to get the lightning bolt to ground before it comes in the shack?
Answer yes, sir. Three bags full. I found some mechanical clamps that, like I said, I did not want to drill into the tower. Now, the tower is bolted, hard bolted to my steel plate. And I've got these clamps that I'm going to attach to the what I call the rabbit ears. That's the pivot plate or pivot devices, the ears for the tower to pivot on. And I'm going to run those straight down to ground. Then, as a extra backup, I'm going to put one more, and I'm going to run that same clamp assembly to one of the actual legs of the tower and run that into a ground rod. And the two rods won't be 8 feet apart, but they'll be about 5 or 6 feet apart.
KN4 UBG. Well, you know they make a little block. You know, it's like a little copper block that goes on the end of a wire, and it's got a hole in it. You know, you can take one of your bolts loose in the bottom of that leg and put that block on that leg and tighten your bolt back up. That way the actual leg of your tower will be grounded better than that hinge plate. Take that little block and then slide your ground wire up into it and tighten a little nut down on the ground wire and then put it onto your ground rod in the ground. They should have those things over too.
Kevin, I know exactly what you're talking about, bud. They are electrical lug connectors, and I use them all the time. The only problem is you can't get them at 1 inch or half inch.
Big enough to where you can drill the hole in. I mean, I've seen them things pretty big, man. I've seen them things, I don't know, almost 2 inches wide by 2 inches, you know, mounted to like the, what do you call them, the I-beams that come down from the ceiling. And they got that like half inch or three quarter inch rated copper wire going to the ground right in the ground on these buildings. I mean, they make them. You just got to find them.
Well, let's put it this way. None of your normal supply houses around here has got them. I don't know if Holder's got them or not, but that would be a pretty good idea. That way I could take it directly to the 1-inch. So I've got 1-inch bridge-grade hardened steel bolts holding the tower to that 5/8-inch plate steel pivot plate. So if I could attach directly to that with one of those lugs, that would do the trick. But what I've got is basically a C-clamp designed for that same purpose, and I'm just going to attach that to one of the dog ears on my pivot that goes directly to the tower.
Well, I was just thinking about that leg. That'd be more of a contact, because that's where your lightning is going to be coming down that leg. So, I mean, by the time it comes down and hits the base plate, it has to go to that ear, too. So, you know, by that time, it's done muddy to the ground. But if you could find that lug, I think that'd be your best bet, would be that lug directly onto your leg. But, I mean, I got a drill. I mean, we can drill that hole bigger. You know, we can drill that thing half inch or whatever, you know, if you can find one.
Yep, yep. Dave, what have you got for me? What do you think? JW, you still in there? Dave, I'll go buy a Holder Electric today, Kevin, and see if they've got those things for 1-inch bolts. And but I do not want to drill into my tower structure on those legs. Like I said, I just feel like that would weaken the strength of that leg.
Be 199.9% on that one, so you'll get almost 200% out of me on that one, because
once you drill through that galvanized structure, you're actually drilling into the metal then. And, you know, that's going to allow for rust or whatever to get in that hole. So, yeah, I wouldn't do that. That's why I suggested that lug. Yeah, you use that lug and tighten it down on the bolt that you already have in the leg, and then that's less holes in your tower. So that's why I said that. I just threw that out there to you to give you a different idea.
All right, well, cool beans. Listen, I've destinated. I'm fixing to go in and go to work, bud. So I'll say 73. KN4 UBG. KN4 VWA, clear after your final. And David, if you're still out there, I'll try to hit you later today. So W4DJW, have a good day too, bud. And congratulations on greasing in and out of that place. KN4 VWA, clear.
KN4 VWA, and check and let me know back this afternoon on that. And, that way I'll know to bring my tool bag with me when I come Saturday. But, we'll give you a holler later on, man, and I'll say 73, so you be careful out there. And didn't mean to cut you and Dave off, but I just wanted to throw that out there to you. That'd be a little bit easier to do than what, you know, drilling holes. But I'll say 73s, and Dave, if you in there, I'll say 73s to you. I'm fixing to be gone. I got to go start this job. KN4 UBG, I'll be clear.